Now up next, Wimbledon starts on Monday. 2 weeks of top-class tennis as the best in the world serve up what should be some top clashes. Can Novak Djokovic make it 4 Wimbledon titles in a row? And can anyone stop Iga Swiatek? Now Hazel Nolan looks ahead with Stephen Higgins from crosscourtview.com and starts off by asking him about the surprise return of Serena Williams.
Yeah, it kind of came completely out of the blue, only an announcement last week or so that after she retired in the first round of Wimbledon 12 months ago, and there's been debate ever since about would she ever come back to tennis? Does she still want to pursue that record, Margaret Court's record of 24 Grand Slams? She's at 23, of course, and she's been very close a number of times, not quite there. Will she come back to try win that, or has she moved on to other things in her life? But then out of the blue last week, she announces she's going to turn up at Wimbledon. And as you say, she entered the doubles with Ons Jabeur. They had to pull out because Jabeur, who is a super player, top 5 player now, has a bit of an injury niggle, clearly protecting herself for Wimbledon. So it's absolutely fascinating to see. We have no evidence to know, apart from her incredible history and heritage of 11 finals at Wimbledon, 7 titles in singles. We don't actually know what form she's in, how she's moving, etc. So it'll be fascinating to see how she goes. Her draw is pretty good in terms of she starts against an unseeded French woman, Harmony Tan. But with Serena, because we've no form to go off, it's hard to judge how she's actually going to perform.
Yeah, it's going to be so fascinating to watch because a player of her pedigree and calibre, you almost hope for her that she does come into it in good form.
Yeah, the thing, Serena's game, particularly as she's aged, revolves an awful lot around her serve. So she has the greatest serve in the history of the women's game. And she relies on that a lot because her movement and her hitting aren't quite as superior to the other players as they would have been, say, in her prime period when she was maybe 19 to 30 or that kind of thing. So her serve is incredibly important and pivotal to her hopes. So that'll really be the focus of, is she still serving as well as she was before? Can she get those cheap points set up her forehand? The problem she has is, as you've seen over the finals in recent years, everyone is so good now. All the women hit the ball really well. All the women can last with her in the rallies. Simona Halep has played the match for life when she beat her in the Wimbledon final a few years back. And it's just with Serena, it might be a step too far. I know you can't write off a legend like that, but when she's out of the game for so long and when the other players are so good and when you see the level of Iga Swiatek, the world number one, who's on a 35-match winning streak, it's a big ask for Serena to come back after a year out and compete with people who've been playing obviously nonstop in that time.
You mentioned Iga Swiatek there. I mean, it's very, very hard to look past her.
Iga Swiatek has just gone on to a different planet, really. So Ash Barty was the world number one, fabulous player. Shocking that she retired after winning Australian Open earlier this year. She left this vacuum and then Iga Swiatek has filled that very neatly. So she's on, as I said, a 35-match winning streak. She's won bundles of titles and then she won Roland Garros for the second time only a month ago with a very convincing win over Coco Gauff. She is just so steady. Her footwork is magnificent. She has a great mentality and a really good support team as well, where she seems to keep herself grounded and just take each tournament as it comes along. She doesn't seem to get distracted by her, you know, the prestige of the tournaments or her status or sponsorship or et cetera, et cetera. She's just a machine, basically. She's kind of almost like a Steffi Graf, like a modern version, where she is just going through each draw and just hoovering up titles. And it doesn't seem like anyone can compete with her at the moment.
I was going to say, is there even a clear favourite in the chasers behind her?
It's the thing, because it's best of three compared to the men's best of five, it's always very open on the women's side. There aren't particularly in recent years. Now, maybe 10 years ago, you would have a core of 3 or 4 players of, say, like a Serena Williams, a Victoria Azarenka, Justine Henin, Maria Sharapova. Like, you know, you might say they're the kind of 4 or 5 or so who'll be competing for titles. But now we have had so many first-time winners in the last 3 or 4 seasons. And grass is particular specialised. It isn't kind of the lightning-fast green of old of your, you know, Stefan Edberg serve and volley, but it's a low bounce. And a lot of players find it difficult to adjust, particularly coming from the clay. So behind Swiatek, you know, it's really an open bag. You could have someone like Ons Jabeur, the partner, as we mentioned, for Serena Williams. She won a grass court title in Berlin. Her game is very well suited to grass. She's a bit of a genius kind of on the court. Lots of interesting shots and all. You've Simona Halep, obviously, who is the previous winner. She's in some pretty decent form, but she has, I think, a terrible draw. I think she's drawn Karolina Muchova in the first round. Muchova is also an excellent grass court player. You have Coco Gauff, obviously the Roland Garros finalist. She's just kind of becoming a really good figure on all surfaces. She's just kind of in this onward progression through the rankings. I mean, she will be number one eventually. She will be Grand Slam champion eventually. But then some of the former champions, people like Angelique Kerber, Garbiñe Muguruza, Petra Kvitova, they're not really in great form coming in. And then someone like Emma Raducanu, who obviously the British public would be hoping the best for, she's just been had a series of injuries and niggles, and you know, it'll be interesting to see whether she can even compete at Wimbledon if the body can hold up.
It really will, because things just haven't gone right for her since she won that US Open title.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I watched her at Roland Garros during her match. She played a three-set match with a young Czech teenager, and it was a real battle. And the thing that's difficult with Raducanu is I think she doesn't necessarily have magical shots in a sense of these kind of easy weapons that you just see them, like a Nadal forehand, a Federer forehand, Djokovic's backhand, you know, etc. Świątek's forehand. She doesn't have this kind of easy route out of points, and things start to become a grind. And it's very hard to know with the US Open win, was that kind of the sign of things to come, or just she had a spectacular fortnight and she took advantage of a very unusual situation during the pandemic, and she was playing, you know, Leila Fernandez in the final, as opposed to one of the really established top players. As things have gone, she has seemingly been very unlucky with injuries, but then she's also gone through a number of coaches, and I'm not exactly sure what she is looking to achieve. I mean, I don't know her, obviously, but it doesn't seem like anything's kind of progressing in the way that people would have hoped after she had that breakthrough.
Yeah. Is there a bit of debate over which female opens on Tuesday on centre, is there?
Well, yeah, this is the point, of course, because Ash Barty is the defending champion. Mm. He has retired. Iga Świątek is the world number one. Świątek should really open it. She's the best player in the world. She's also a junior champion formerly at Wimbledon. So I would think in terms of just status and just fairness, you know, she's the best women's player in the world. She should open it. With all due respect to Simona Halep, obviously a super player.
Right, men's singles. Novak Djokovic looking to win his fourth consecutive at Wimbledon. Again, the men behind him are pretty handy too, but can we look past Djokovic for the men's title?
It's very interesting to see. There was a certain vulnerability in Novak Djokovic at Roland Garros towards the end of his match with Rafael Nadal that I couldn't remember the last time I saw, where he didn't seem to know how he could find the solutions, and he almost was lost and subpar. And I can't remember the last time in a match as important as that Novak Djokovic kind of couldn't find solutions and looked a bit lost. And I wonder, is that just because he was playing Rafael Nadal at Roland Garros, and we all know how much of a god the Spaniard is there? Or is there any sort of weakness now, or just a little bit of the level coming down? Because bear in mind, he's been doing this a long time. No one can sustain the level of brilliance that he has. That when you think about the debacle in Australia, where he didn't obviously get to play the Australian Open, goes into Roland Garros, hadn't really played five-set matches since the previous summer, loses probably disappointingly to Nadal, as he kind of said afterwards, he didn't find the level that he wanted. Is he just going to turn on the switch at Wimbledon as he usually does and just win it kind of convincingly, get into a final, you know, blow out whoever makes it there? Or is there a little bit of, you know, doubt now because of what's happened earlier this year? I don't know. I mean, if we go on his track record, he is clearly the favourite. He is the best grass court player at the moment, particularly with Roger Federer injured, and Nadal hasn't been to a final in over 10 years. So as much as Rafael Nadal is chasing the calendar Grand Slam, it's a big ask for him to get there, because obviously he hasn't been there in such a long time. Beyond Djokovic, yeah, there's only a few kind of guys who are comfortable on grass and have done something there before. So Matteo Berrettini immediately jumps out, the finalist last time around. He also just won back-to-back titles on grass at Stuttgart and Queens. He's a super grass court player. Whether he could beat Djokovic in a final, I don't know. You've got Marin Cilic, a former finalist as well. He's in great form, semi-finalist at Roland Garros and Queens. Again, could he beat Djokovic in a final? And then you have some other interesting names like Hubert Erkacz, a Pole who just beat Halle, or sorry, just won Halle. He's a great player on grass. And then Filip Krajinovic, who actually kind of, while he's a solid player, he showed his grass court potential with a really good run to the final of Queens. Then obviously you've got Nadal, and then if things really work well for him and his body holds up, maybe you might see a good run for someone like Andy Murray.
Oh, now wouldn't that be something? I mean, that would be so amazing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the home favourite, people would be willing him on. He is, the thing, of course, that's interesting with Murray is because he's a former two-time winner and, you know, won the Olympics at Wimbledon on grass. He is one of the few people there who knows all about how you get to a final, how you pace yourself through a tournament, how to get the best out of the surface, how to move on it. So if his body can hold up at all through a few matches, we all know his pedigree. And no one would want to face him in the draw if he's healthy, given his heritage there.
Yeah, it's interesting. And just like you mentioned, Roger Federer there not being there for the first time in, what is it, 23 years. And, you know, Serena, potentially a farewell Wimbledon appearance. Who knows? She could be back at the age of 41. In some respects, it kind of almost feels like this Wimbledon could be the last time we see some of the greats. Could it be?
Yeah, I think there's also been a surplus of retirements lately of players and people like Joe Wilfried Tsonga and a few other kind of players that maybe have been top 20 of that generation, but not quite of the, you know, the number one kind of players. Yeah, given that Federer is obviously 40, he'll be hoping that he can come back at Basel and the Laver Cup to see how he is. But then I wouldn't expect that he'll be playing, even if that goes well, he'll be playing a full calendar of tournaments next year. I'd say he might see how it gets on. And I don't think he would just leave the tour, though. I think he would probably do a farewell if he'd like to play each major, maybe just to say goodbye to fans. So I'd expect he'd probably play next year, whatever happens, just to even play them for the last time. With Nadal, it's very difficult to judge because he has this chronic foot issue that seems to flare up every now and again. He had to have injections in his foot to numb it during Roland Garros so he'd be able to compete. He said that's not a long-term solution. He's not going to just do that. So unless there's some sort of way that they can fix his foot or make it easier for him to train and play, he probably will retire, I'd guess. And with Serena, just given all her business interests and the other things in her life that matter to her, you wonder how much, although of course she's probably dying to match the Margaret Court record of the 24 singles, will there eventually be a point where, you know, she moves on and she's just kind of concerned? You know, she's done an unbelievable amount of things in tennis. She's absolutely nothing to prove, obviously, to anyone. Will there be a point where she'll just think that, you know, it's too much of a grind? I have other things that matter to me more and maybe I'll just leave it. So, yeah, absolutely. I think this year could be one of change.
Right. Before I let you go, give me your winners.
In the winners, yeah, I do think Iga Świątek will actually do it. On the men's side, I would go with Djokovic, but I probably wouldn't go with him in as much confidence as I did before. I'm just interested to see. I just question over the time if you can just turn on the switch like he has before of kind of, you know, not on excellent form, gets into a Grand Slam, suddenly becomes supreme Novak Djokovic. So I would probably go, unsurprisingly, with the two favourites, but I'd have more confidence maybe in Świątek than I would in Djokovic, which maybe I didn't think I'd say a year ago.